Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes, France.
Fred Film Radio from the Cannes Festival. I'm Angelo Cerbi here with Maxim Nakonechny, director of Butterfly Vision. Why did you choose to tell us the war through the life and eyes of a woman soldier?
So I was just editing one documentary called Invisible Battalion, and it was about women soldiers and veterans. And then there, like listening to their stories, watching the scenes and watching their life, I was just impressed by what they were saying. And I was really impressed by the position and the perspective of women at war in general and at this particular war. Because it was much more vulnerable, but at the same time much stronger. So I thought that the woman at war herself, and especially after having this deep and very bad trauma, but managing to overcome it in her own way, maybe not sometimes not understandable and not very relatable, but her own, such a woman may be a moral compass for a war-torn society in general, which has a lot of complications and controversies.
Well, there was a protest on the red carpet for the presence of a Russian film in the festival, an issue much discussed in these days and times. What is your opinion about this?
Well, my opinion that, as I've said in my speech, for example, in our case, we didn't have this possibility, we didn't have this, I would say, privilege to choose whether our culture is part of this war or not, whether it can deal something or not. Our culture is also under attack. The very existence of our culture is right now a big question. If the Russians succeed, there would be no Ukrainian culture. So Ukrainian culture has to take actions in order to be resilient, in order to resist. And at the same time, Russia uses its culture as a tool of the mass destruction and as the justification of the mass destruction. So when certain filmmakers exclude themselves and when certain artists exclude themselves from that process, it's also their position of not taking action, or it's also their position of, like, they just sign their own incompetence and impotence, how you call it, yeah, of like doing something against being used as a tool of the war, yes, you know, or being blind, tone blind and tone deaf also, because while thinking that just being an artist and just making your art is a part of the resistance, it's a very tricky point, because, like, it's not enough. I've seen by myself Russian tanks with these like quotes from Russian films written on them, with this "В чём сила, брат?" from Brat 2. So, for example, right now when you state that your identity is Russian, then you have to also then strengthen it with what is the positions, what is this element of the Russian identity which makes you still want speaking on behalf of it, which makes you still want representing it. If you are like stepping aside and showing off your hands, washing off your hands, it is still also a position. It can, it's an illusion, and it's a privileged illusion that it can be, that you can just step out and be like this artist in a vacuum.
You can be neutral.
Yes. Unfortunately, because, like, as our film is also about that when coming back to civil life, of course, it also goes much more about these half tones and about these controversials and about this impossibility to mark the things 100% good, 100% evil, 100% enemy and 100% ally. But at war, actually, is the only way to survive, and is the way how war is done. And we are at war, actually. And, like, Russia is the participant at war. So when you state yourself Russian, when you identify yourself as Russian and speak on behalf of that position, you are automatically part of it somehow.
How was your interaction with the actress on the set?
Oh, with this particular actress, it's not that simple that you just say what you want from her. Actually. And that was the reason, actually, why did I choose her? Because, like, at the very beginning, I understood that she would make her own Lila based on what, like, based on our narabitki, how you say it, like, based on my and our author's some basis, pieces of puzzle which would be present there. She would, of course, grow something and build something up or over it. So, and, like, the film is about, like, Lila fighting for her own vision of herself and her life. And that's why this approach towards creating this character was very precise. And, first of all, we made a very substantial research, traveling to the front line to get the feeling what it is like. Also, Rita was learning to operate the drone. She made several day paramedics training. Also, she would be writing a lot of. We would discuss a lot, like the background. She would be writing the diary of captivity. We would also play a lot of scenes which were not in the script, but just to understand how the scenes which are in the script have to be acted. And the main thing that we really were communicating with a lot of people with different kinds of experience, like participants, witnesses or victims of war and war crime, different war crimes, let's say, were the people who would take part in it, who would deal with these war crimes, so with also war psychologists and human rights activists. And and we would include all these, we would observe people's experiences, we would observe their perspectives, and we were trying to include it into the character development too, and to base it. So even if not putting some certain things into the story, we would use it as just at least the camera tone, to see if our vision, our story is relatable enough towards the reality.
You made some specific editing choices in this film. The editing is really important. It's much more narrative than usual, and it's also very rough in terms to show us the roughness of Lila's life. You were saying that you come from documentary, so your documentary past helped you to give us this kind of look.
Definitely, it helped, of course, both regarding the main approach and regarding how the film is cut. And we were mostly editing this film with Ivor, the Croatian editor, but also Alina Gorlova, the director, who is also the co-founder of our production company Tabor, and she is a documentary filmmaker. I produced her latest film, The Train Will Never Stop, very beautiful, monumental, essayistic, poetic documentary. We were finalizing the editing with her, and like this was a long process. We were searching, like, with both of them, we were searching for the correct and also precise editing expression of what Lila is going through. And that was first kind of results of these several attempts and build-ups and steps of the searching of this right tool of expression, that, and kind of a coincidence, because we were just also looking not this thing, this tool. It does not only express Lila's state and what she's going through and how these experience ruptures the fabric of the reality and breaks into it, but also it unifies all these different visions and all these different mediums through which we uncover the story. And it was almost accidental. We were searching for something certain, and we saw there were some actual natural glitches in some drone shots, and we were thinking maybe we so in order to justify we should make some more at this drone shot. And then we understood maybe we add some more, like, first to these jump cuts. At that point, it would be the jump cuts. So first we made just rough jump cuts in one scene. Then we would add the flare, like, in a different manner and mode. Then we would add these flashbacks to that, and then we understood they should be presented with this glitch because it just expresses well everything and works well as the general editing artistic solution, metaphorical solution.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maxine Nakonechny, the director of Butterfly Vision from the Cannes Festival. I'm Angela Cherby for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.